Pepper Young's family. Pepper Young's family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message.
Yes. I hope you're not going to devote all your time to any one girl for a long time to come.
Why not? Peggy's serious, isn't she? She's engaged, and she's just my age, so why shouldn't I be engaged, too? Kids my age can love for all time. Don't you think so, Mrs. Young? Well, then they can be serious about marriage at 17.
Yes, but 50 year on what? What could you possibly get married on, even if you did get somebody to marry you?
You don't have to get married on anything. Well, you can be engaged for a while. I wouldn't ask anything more than that. Just to go around being engaged to Gloria. Oh, Mrs. Young, you ought to be sympathetic. After all, Peggy is in the same boat.
Biff, I know it. And I wish you weren't in that same boat. You know, I hate to see you children growing up, thinking about marriage and all the rest of it. I'd much rather have you stay just as you are.
Yeah, but don't you see, Mrs. Young, we can't do that. Time doesn't stand still, and neither do we. When you meet a girl like Gloria, oh, boy, you just want to hang on to her for keeps. Mrs. Young, I'll just about die if I had to go way out to Chicago.
Oh, now, Biff, try not to take it so seriously. Have a good time with Gloria. And remember, there are lots of attractive girls in Chicago, too.
Not for me, there aren't. Not one. My heartbeat is here, not in Chicago.
I bet Peggy's having a lovely time this very minute. I bet she loves every inch of Chicago. But you couldn't tell her so a year ago. A year ago, she'd have said there was no place in the world like Elmwood. Oh, sit still, Biff. I'll go. Peggy!
Mrs. Young has just opened the front door. To her amazement, Peggy stands there. Peggy, who at this very moment is supposed to be having the time of her life visiting Carter's family in Chicago. Mrs. Young is even more bewildered by Peggy's first words.
Oh, Mama, Mama, darling, I'm so glad to be home.
Peggy, Peggy, darling.
Crying out loud, Peggy, I thought you were supposed to be 100 miles from here.
Peggy, what's the matter, darling? What's happened?
Oh, Mama, it's so wonderful to be back home.
What's all this hullabaloo of... Hey, what on earth... Where on earth did you drop from?
Oh, Daddy.
Well, now, honey, what's the matter, dear?
Oh, I'm so glad to be back in Elmwood. I am. I've never been so glad in my whole life.
Well, now, Peggy, tell me, what happened?
Peggy, have you had your breakfast?
No, I haven't, and I'm really hungry. Could I sit down at the table here and just eat the way I've always eaten?
What are you talking about?
You just don't know what it is to sit down with your family and not be in a room the size of Windsor Castle.
Now, Peggy, please. Tell me, what happened? Now, look, if the Trents have done anything to hurt your feelings or said anything to insult you...
No, they haven't, really, Daddy. I just wanted to come home.
All right, Pace, if you don't choose to tell me, I...
I do. I'm trying to. I will in a minute. Only just let me sit here and be glad a minute and be grateful I'm back here with all of you.
Oh, but, Peg, what about Carter?
I don't know. Oh, Biff, your father was wonderful to me.
My father? Did you see Dad?
Yes, I did. He helped me when I left the Trent house last night.
Left the Trent house and went to Kurt? Oh, Peggy, I don't understand.
Now, look, Peg, if this was some sort of game of the Trents to get you there and hurt your feelings...
No, Daddy, they couldn't have been nicer, really. Everything was wonderful.
Oh? And so that's why you ran away and came home?
Well, look, Peggy, maybe you'd rather talk to your father and mother without me hanging around.
Oh, thank you, Biff, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind a bit. Gee, Peg, it's nice having you back again, well, even if you do feel bad about it.
I don't. I feel wonderful. I cried when I came in because I was so happy, just so glad to be back here.
Well, anyway, you are here, dear. And I suppose we'll get all the facts sooner or later.
Well, I'll beat it. Only, how's Dad, Peggy?
Oh, he's wonderful, Biff. He's just about the grandest person in the world.
Oh, I know that, but how is he?
Oh, he's all right. He's fine. He said he wanted you to come out to Chicago soon.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. Just when I don't want to go.
Well, I'm on my way. Only, gee, Peg, it seems like home to have you back again.
Thanks, Biff. Oh, I'm so happy.
You don't look very happy, dear. At least you didn't when you came in.
We'll be back with the Youngs in a moment after this message.
Peggy, I still want to know what happened. And I don't want any more beating about the bush. I want to know the facts. What happened when you got to Chicago?
Well, Daddy, Carter met me at the train, and he was darling. He couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, I see. And that's why you left, because Carter was nice to you?
No, Daddy, that's not why I left. Well, Mrs. Trent and Mr. Trent, they were kind, too. And I went to my room, and I had a personal maid. Imagine me with a personal maid.
Well, dear, I expect you have all sorts of things in a big house like the Trent's.
Oh, Mama, it isn't a house at all. I mean, it isn't a home at all. It's just one big, enormous, gigantic palace. It's just an enormous, huge hotel. You couldn't really live in a house like that or have fun. You just lose yourself. I never could find my way downstairs from my room. Carter always had to stop for me. Oh, it was so complicated with rooms after rooms. Wasn't it enormous, Daddy?
Yes, it was enormous, Peggy. But that is not the point. Tell us what happened.
I'm trying to. Maybe the bigness of the house and the bigness of the rooms and my having a maid and all that did something to me. I mean, it sort of scared me. I don't know.
Now, Peggy, you must have a better reason than that.
Well, when we went down to dinner... Oh, Mom, it wasn't a dining room at all. It was a big banquet hall, a place where you could seat about 90,000 people. And just the four of us in the middle of that huge room with a lot of servants waiting on us. And you know, I was afraid of using the wrong fork or the wrong knife or the wrong everything. Of course, Carter was being sweet all the time. But I was getting more and more scared and wishing I was back home. It's so good to be here. Oh, how I appreciate this dining room now. It's so little, Mama. Did you ever notice how nice and little it is?
Oh, yes, I've noticed it lots of times. Go on, dear.
Well, in the middle of dinner, Mrs. Trent said something about everybody going to a dance, about Carter and me going to a party at the country club. Oh, I didn't want to go a bit, Mama. I knew I didn't have the right dress for a party at a country club.
Well, why not? There's nothing wrong with your black dress. It's very pretty.
Oh, yes, it is, but not the kind of dress you wear to a formal party at a swanky country club. I just knew it wasn't going to be right. And I didn't feel like meeting a lot of people I'd never seen before. Well, Carter seemed to know that, and we had just decided not to go when a lot of Carter's friends came to call for him. And, oh, Mama, the girls were gorgeous. They looked just like glamour girls you see in the papers. I mean, their clothes were simply super, and their hairdos were wonderful, and everything they said was wonderful, and...
And that's why you came home?
No, Daddy, that wasn't it. When I saw all of them with Carter and with his family... And when I heard them all talk together, I realized I didn't belong there, that I belonged right here. I knew all of a sudden I could never be one of them. Then we went to the dance.
Oh? Well, didn't you have a good time?
No. It was in a great, big, magnificent clubhouse, more beautiful than anything I've ever seen before. And we danced, and some of the men cut in on me. But we went out on the porch, and... Well, that was when I heard them talking.
Heard them talking? Heard who talking?
Oh, some of the girls. They didn't know I was there in the dark. They were talking about me, and some of the things they said were awful.
The things they said were awful?
Well, what do you mean, Peg, for instance?
Well, they said they didn't see how Carter ever fell for me, and that I didn't belong, and, well, where did he find me anyway? And I wasn't attractive, and that I must be after his money.
Why, Peg...
And then I realized that everybody in Chicago was saying things like that. And that they'd keep on saying things like that if I married Carter. And that they'd keep on believing I married him for his money. They think he'd made a terrible mistake because I didn't belong to that sort of people that he'd been used to. It came over me all of a sudden that they were right and that I had to get out of there before Carter persuaded me to stay.
But, darling, what did you do?
Well, when Carter came back with my coat, I asked him to take me home. When we got back to the Trent's house, I went up to my room, and there was a maid waiting for me to go to bed. But then all of a sudden, the whole thing struck me. I wanted to be back here with you and Daddy and Pepper and everybody I loved. I couldn't stay there another minute. I didn't want to face them in the morning, and I couldn't explain why I was going. I couldn't do anything but just get away as fast as I could. So the maid got a taxi for me, and I called Mr. Bradley, and I went to his hotel. He got a room for me, and I stayed there last night. And then I took the early train. And, well, here I am.
So Peggy, when she found herself in a situation she couldn't quite handle, has come straight back to Elmwood, like a homing pigeon. And now a message from our sponsor. Tomorrow, Mr. Young sends a telegram to Chicago. Be sure to join us on Pepper Young's Family. John Scott speaking.